ridiculous, especially when there are numerous animals very closely related to us that rely on fruit and vegetables, have boundless energy and strength, and do not suffer from weight problems. In Chapter 8, we described the plastic bag syndrome and learned we do not need to eat meat for protein. The body produces protein itself, provided we're getting our 20 necessary amino acids. Amino acids fall into two groups, essential and non-essential. 11 of the amino acids, those called non-essential, are already in our system. The 9 essential amino acids need to be sourced externally, therefore, through our intake. These essential amino acids are found in plants and best replenished by eating vegetables. We do not need animals or animal products to get protein. We were not designed to eat meat. In fact, it's hard to imagine a food less suitable for human consumption. Man and meat. Carnivores of all sizes have long, powerful fangs and razor-sharp incisors, as well as sharp, powerful claws for gripping and tearing flesh. Compare your teeth and fingernails to the teeth and claws of even a domestic cat. Do you really think you've got what it takes to kill and dissect an animal with your bare hands and teeth? If you tried, and I'm not suggesting you do, you'd have considerable difficulty consuming it. Apart from the unpleasantness of having to drink another animal's blood, it's extremely difficult to chew. If you did manage to force some down your throat, your digestive system would not thank you for it. Of all the foods people eat, meat is the most difficult to digest and dispose of. The stomach of a carnivore contains much more hydrochloric acid than the human stomach. This is what enables it to break meat down efficiently, and its relatively short intestines enable it to dispose of the waste quickly. Humans are not physically cut out to eat meat. Meat has a high fat content and a relatively low water content, and cooking it lowers the water content further. Our stomachs are designed to digest food with a low fat and high water content. Meat also has a very high protein content, and we do not have the enzymes necessary to digest large quantities of concentrated fat and protein efficiently. The putrefying waste takes about 20 hours to pass through our long intestines, and there will be traces of meat in your digestive tract weeks after eating it. Eating meat obstructs the natural elimination cycle. As your body struggles and fails to break down the flesh, your system builds up a backlog of undigested matter, which then turns into fat. If you could see inside your body, you'd appreciate the damage that meat does to your insides. It's not just your stomach that suffers. Your kidneys can't flush it all out of your system, and all your other organs work overtime in an attempt to rectify the situation. But your body is incredibly resilient, and the mere fact that you're still alive seems like evidence that there's nothing too horrendous going on inside. Think again. Just because your body has coped up until now, is that really a sensible argument for continuing to treat it like a waste disposal unit? You're reading this book because you have a weight problem. Follow my method, and your body will be getting all the nutrients it needs from the right foods, and you'll not only be your ideal weight, you'll also take more pleasure in eating and be bursting with energy and vitality. Neither the stomach nor the heart. Food we think of as fresh is often processed. When I was a boy, chicken was a luxury. Today, thanks to a string of bad news stories concerning red meat, chicken is the main meat staple. It's cheap and has not yet been blamed for any chronic degenerative diseases. But if you saw the way battery hens are reared and pumped with hormones, I doubt you'd ever be able to get excited about your Sunday roast chicken again. These days, animals are not so much reared as processed. We don't go and see their appalling conditions ourselves, and we block our minds to the hideous methods of mass production. We're hoodwinked by friendly images and tempting words from the meat industry. We're told these foods are of genuine nutritional benefit, and we're led to believe we need them to be strong and healthy. Who are we to question it? We've been sold the same line from infancy, even by our own parents, who were sold it by their parents. Place a small child in a crib with a rabbit and an apple. If it eats the rabbit and plays with the apple, I'll buy you a new car. Harvey Diamond, co-author, Fit for Life. We aren't emotionally designed to eat meat either. When you're in the countryside on a glorious spring day and you see newborn lambs frolicking in the lush green pastures, do you begin to salivate and want to rush into the field to pounce on one, tear its throat out, and feast on the blood and gore as a wolf would? Or do you think, aren't they sweet? Compare your behaviour to that of a true carnivore. Even domesticated dogs have to be restrained when faced with a field of lambs. You might argue that as humans, we've become civilized in a way a dog has not, and therefore we know better than to commit such animalistic acts. But the irony is that those lambs are being bred and nurtured solely so that we can kill and eat them. A whole industry has been created so that we can eat meat without having to kill it ourselves, or even think about the mass slaughter. In the endless quest for cost efficiency and bigger profits, Big Food has come to treat animals with staggering cruelty. The tiny cages in which they're permanently confined bear absolutely no resemblance to their natural habitat. In the UK, the minimum legal requirement of space for one bird is under 3/4 the size of an A4 sheet of paper. When we're presented with images of this horror, we react with revulsion and pity. Even the language we use severs the connection between the meat and the animal it comes from. Why do you think we talk of pork, beef, veal, and venison, rather than pig, cow, calf, and deer? It's much easier to tuck into a portion of meat if we don't have to think about the living animal. Let me make it clear, I'm not presenting the moral arguments against eating meat. I'm not appealing to your conscience. I'm just showing you that humans are not natural carnivores. We lack the physical attributes, and we lack the instinct. It's in our nature to love animals. We keep dogs, cats, hamsters, rabbits, guinea pigs, gerbils, tortoises, fish, even rats and snakes, not for eating, but for companionship. We spend a lot of money on them. We love to play with them, watch them, talk to them, and feed them. We take them to the vet when they're ill, and when they die, we make graves for them and grieve. Can you think of any other carnivore that chooses to cohabit with other species the way we do, without ever thinking of eating them? I know several people who have reared chickens and pigs with the intention of eating them, but when it came to the kill, they couldn't bring themselves to do it and ended up keeping them as pets. The dairy delusion. The favourite food of all newborn mammals is their mother's milk. It provides all the vitamins and nutrients they need, and we don't question that. We make no attempt to vary its intake or complement it with vitamin supplements. We recognize the baby is getting the exact food nature designed for it. When we see any animal suckling on its mother's breast, be it a calf, lamb, kitten, or puppy, we instinctively have a feeling of well-being. If milk is the natural food that contains all the nutrients we need, surely it makes sense to drink as much of it as we can throughout our lives. When I was a child, milk was a staple in our household. Delivered every day by the milkman, it was given to me cold on my return from school and warm with a spot of honey if I was feeling poorly or finding it difficult to sleep. It was sold to me as the elixir of life. I initially found this aspect of the brainwashing tricky to overcome. It's only recently that the true damage caused by consuming dairy products has come to light. It causes heart disease and diabetes and aggravates eczema, hay fever, asthma, and osteoporosis. Remember, the baby is getting the exact food designed for that baby. The milk of all mammals is specially formulated with a specific balance of vitamins, iron, calcium, and other nutrients that the specific infant requires. You wouldn't give a newborn baby cow's milk. The milk of each mammal is unique. Milk is designed only for babies. Can you think of any other animals that continue drinking milk in adulthood other than humans and their pets? I can't. Not even cows. Furthermore, we don't even continue drinking our own milk. We switch to that of another species. Dairy may be easier to consume than meat, but it's also very difficult to digest. This is because of lactose, a substance in all milk products. Lactase, the enzyme which can digest lactose, occurs in the human body when we're babies in order to digest our mother's milk. It leaves our bodies as we grow. This clearly demonstrates that we're not designed to consume dairy products as adults. Rennet enzymes, extracted from mammal stomachs, are used in the production of most cheeses to coagulate the milk. When we eat cheese, we're usually also eating a meat product. Baba. In the illustrated children's book, The Story of Baba, the animals are humanized, not only by giving them clothes, houses and cars, but also by making them susceptible to human error. Baba becomes king of the elephants when the previous king dies from eating a poisonous mushroom. Wild animals choose their food using their sensor. A real elephant would have been able to tell the mushroom was fatal. Unlike us, wild animals are still guided by their instincts and still follow nature's guide. What are our favorite foods? It's clear that adults were not designed to consume any dairy products, including milk, particularly not the milk of another species. While mother's milk is the stuff of life for infant mammals, it's clearly not designed for after infancy. It's also clear that both physically and emotionally, man was not designed to eat meat. To ignore these points is to go against nature's plan. So what does that leave? Fruit, vegetables, nuts, and grains. I can hear the cries of anguish. Does that mean I'll have to become a vegan? No. Vegans do not eat meat or animal products. Remember, with my method, there are no restrictions. If you can't contemplate a life without meat, fish, or dairy, you don't have to. Remember the junk margin. Like most people, I used to find the thought of becoming a vegan weird. It ceased to bother me once I discovered the secret to my weight problem. I realized there was nothing to be afraid of. I was making no sacrifice whatsoever, and my food intake could remain as varied as I liked. I also realized that fresh fruit, nuts, vegetables, and grains formed the main part of most people's intake anyway. Think of a typical everyday meal: lamb, rice, carrots, peas, and salad. The meat is only a small proportion, and in any case, there's a huge variety of fruits, nuts, vegetables, and grains to choose from. There's an almost limitless selection of first-rate foods in the shops these days, and with my method, your taste buds and hunger will always be satisfied by your favorite foods, so you won't feel deprived, and you'll be your ideal weight. Summary. We are not physically designed to eat meat. We are not emotionally designed to eat meat. Mother's milk is the only milk suitable for us, and only during infancy. To eat meat and dairy products to get protein and calcium is to fall for the plastic bag syndrome. Reducing the meat and dairy content of your intake will not take away the variety. Top tip number 13. Eat with your heart. There are certain things that we're not emotionally equipped to eat. A true carnivore doesn't feel sentimental towards animals. Follow your heart. Chapter 14. Our favorite foods. In this chapter, what our closest relatives can teach us. The abundance of natural foods. Cooking. The ninth instruction. Why are you always hungry? The natural choice. I've explained why certain foods are not designed for us. Now let's see which ones are. It's time to establish exactly which foods were designed for human consumption. In order to do so, it helps to look back at man before he began to tamper with food, before he discovered the secret of fire and started cooking, planting crops, or rearing livestock. A good way to do this is to look at the animals that most closely resemble us. The great apes are our closest relatives, in particular the chimpanzee, which shares 99% of our DNA. Like us, chimps are omnivores. They eat fruit, vegetation, and meat. Their favourite food by far is fruit, followed by leaves. They eat about 60% fruit and 20% leaves. Seeds and blossoms account for around 10%, and only about 5% is meat and insects. Given the choice, a chimpanzee would much rather eat fruit and leaves. Does that make the chimpanzee's life repetitive and dull? Not a bit of it. A chimp will find pleasure in as many as 300 different types of plant. You may think you enjoy a varied intake, but when was the last time you put 300 different food items in your shopping basket? Nature's Variety Show. A quick look around my local supermarket revealed the abundance of natural foods which can be eaten raw. Fruit ticks all the boxes in Nature's Guide. It looks good, smells good, and tastes good. So much so that man has learned to extract the flavour from fruit and add it to other things. We give taste to most puddings, cakes, and confectionery by adding fresh fruit or fruit essences. If meat tastes good in itself, why the need to cook it and add seasoning, sauces, and condiments? Have you ever felt an apple could do with a pinch of salt? Does your banana taste better if you add pepper? Of course not. Fruit requires no added flavouring. On the contrary, we add fruit and vegetables to bland foods like meat to give them flavour. Apple sauce with pork, cranberry sauce with turkey, mint sauce with lamb, horseradish and mustard with beef, sage and onion with chicken, etc. When it comes to flavouring drinks, we also turn to fruit. Blackcurrant, orange, lemon, lime, strawberry, raspberry, peach, pineapple, banana. And not just soft drinks either. In addition to the grapes and hops that go into wine and beer, we flavour spirits with orange, lemon, cherry, apricot, juniper, sloe and more. The blurb on wine bottle labels often boasts something like, "Bursting with the flavour of summer fruits, a combination of rich raspberry, blackcurrant and cherry." Nowadays, there are even fruit-flavoured beers. Fruit appeals to our natural instincts more than any other food. This is not simply a question of taste. Taste is closely associated with hunger, and hunger is your body's way of telling you that it needs certain nutrients. Fruit provides those nutrients. Earlier, we discussed the importance of high water content foods to aid digestion, the absorption of nutrients, and the disposal of wastes. Fruit is your digestive system's best friend. It requires barely any breaking down and passes very quickly from the stomach to the intestines, where the goodness is easily extracted. It aids the natural elimination cycle, and the waste is easily disposed of, avoiding the build-up of indigestible matter that turns into fat. Water is the most vital nutrient for man. The human body is 70% water. It lubricates our body. If you become dehydrated, your system cannot function properly. Fruit consists mainly of water, some as much as 90%. Fruit is the food that naturally provides us with the water we need. In fact, the more you look at the design of fruit, the more you realize how ingenious it is. Whether it's a banana, which comes in its own natural, easy-to-remove wrapper, or an apple that stays firm and shiny for weeks, always ready to eat, the earth is brimming with an abundance of fruit, provided for us in attractive and convenient packages and offering a vast variety of delicious flavours. Fruit remains cool and refreshing even on hot days. It satisfies both our hunger and our thirst. It's packed full of the minerals and vitamins we need to be healthy and strong. There's very little waste when we digest fruit, and we easily dispose of the little there is, which means that, in contrast to meat, it gives you the energy and vitality essential for enjoying life. You can't have too much energy. Energy is the source of human happiness. The more you have, the better you feel. It's cool to eat fruit, and fruit's cool to eat. We can learn a lot about our natural instincts by observing the behaviour of infants. Observe babies' eating habits before the brainwashing kicks in. They begin life wanting only their mother's milk. When the time comes to move on to solids, the food they will eat most readily is fruit. Cooking. Fresh fruit, fresh vegetables, nuts and seeds, nuts are essentially a type of seed, are clearly the ideal foods for humans. These foods provide us with all the nutrients we require and can be eaten in their natural state. We've been cooking food ever since we learned how to use fire around 800,000 years ago in the Stone Age, so long that our bodies have evolved and adapted to be able to deal without problems with a limited intake of cooked food. This means that it's fine to eat foods that grow naturally but cannot be eaten raw, such as most root vegetables, whole grains, and pulses, as our bodies can digest these and assimilate the nutrients without much difficulty. These foods are not first-rate, like fruit, but they are nothing like as bad for you as meat, dairy, and other junk, and can be included in your intake without unduly clogging up your system. If you are cooking anything, try to cook it in the simplest and lightest way possible, as this will minimize the loss of nutrients and you'll still satisfy your hunger. Stone Age man may have discovered fire, but his intake still consisted mainly of raw, foraged foods such as roots, shoots, nuts, berries, and seeds. Vegetable oils can also be digested without problem, even though they are processed. It's best to stick to oils that have been extracted using cold pressing, as when the oil is heated, the properties of the oil molecules and unsaturated fatty acids change, destroying their nutritional value and making them toxic. For the same reason, it's best not to cook in oil. Why am I having to tell you this? The evidence against junk is indisputable, so it's hard to understand how such an intelligent species as man has allowed itself to consume so much of it. Why are the advertising hoardings not showing us images of fresh fruit? Why isn't children's television punctuated with adverts for fresh vegetables? Big food doesn't make its profits by selling foods in their natural state. That's a small part of the market. The real money lies in tampering with natural foods, processing them beyond recognition, then presenting them in new ways and making consumers believe they're getting added value when all they're really getting is the same old junk and a weight problem. To make matters worse, the so-called experts to whom we look for guidance keep changing their minds about which foods are good for us and which are bad, and send out such mixed messages that the result is confusion. Even when they do get it right, they fail to go the whole hog. The warnings about red meat and full-fat milk were long overdue, but what do they recommend instead? Chicken and skimmed milk. Why? Either meat and milk are good for us, or they're not. I asked you to keep an open mind so that you can overcome the brainwashing and confusion. If you think for yourself and use your own common sense, it's easy to see the reality. Man has been on Earth for millions of years. The mass production of processed foods has only taken place over the last 200 years. We have thrived by eating food in its natural state. My ninth instruction is, beware of processed foods. A fruitless exercise. We've come to accept processed food as a normal part of life, and this brainwashing needs to be reversed. Our natural instincts have worked for millions of years, and the good news is they're still there. You just need to learn to listen to them again. Processing strips food of its vital nutrients, including its natural water content. You might think that cooking it in water or stock, or adding water later, or drinking with the meal will compensate. Buying yourself a sachet of powdered tomato soup to have at the office may be convenient, as all you have to do is add hot water, but this concoction bears no relation to fresh tomatoes. Adding liquid back doesn't restore the natural water content or the nutrients. That's not how our digestive system works. It's the plastic bag syndrome. Your digestive system ingeniously extracts the nutrients from the food you eat, distributes them to the correct parts of your body, and disposes of the waste. It's a highly sophisticated machine, but it was only designed to perform efficiently with the right fuel. Eat food not designed for it, and it won't be able to dispose of the waste as nature intended. Instead, it will store it where it can, and that's where the unsightly bulges appear. Processed food has had its high water content removed, and is therefore difficult to digest. And drinking during the meal can make the problem worse by diluting the digestive juices in your stomach. When our stomach sends the message that we're hungry, we naturally interpret it as the need for food. It's not quite so simple. The message is actually calling for specific nutrients, and it's up to us to provide the foods that contain those nutrients. We've seen that food only tastes good when you're hungry. So why do some people continue to eat when they've stuffed themselves? With all that food inside them, surely they can't still be hungry. And yet, they still have the desire to eat. The reason is, they are still hungry. Hunger is the body asking for nutrients. If the food you eat doesn't supply those nutrients, it will continue to demand them, despite being bloated. This is the key to my method, and to solving your weight problem. Understand why overeating is the direct result of eating the wrong foods, and the door to your prison will swing open. The digestive process can be an extremely energy-sapping exercise if you eat the wrong foods. We tend not to be aware of this because it goes on quietly inside us. Have you ever wondered why we often fall asleep after Christmas lunch? For the same reason that lions and other carnivores spend so much of their lives asleep. Fruit leaves us bounding with energy because it's so easy to digest and full of nutrients. Junk is hard and slow to break down, very low in nutrients, and clogs up the whole digestive process. Every cell suffers when it's deprived of the right nutrients, leaving you permanently tired. Junk leaves you hungry, and if you try to satisfy that hunger by eating more junk, the problem just gets worse. It's this vicious circle that leads to people becoming grossly overweight. A large glass of water is usually enough to quench your thirst. Water contains all the nutrients your body is asking for when it sends the message that you're thirsty. You know when your thirst is quenched, and you don't need any more water. But try quenching your thirst with beer or processed soft drinks. You can drink two or three and still want more. Alcohol and the junk in processed soft drinks cause dehydration, the very opposite of what you're trying to achieve. And so you continue to feel thirsty. The same principle applies to hunger and eating. Unless you provide your body with the nutrients it needs, it will continue to send the message that you're hungry. My 10th instruction is, satisfy your hunger with your favorite foods. Let me make it clear. I'm not telling you what you can and can't eat. Remember the junk margin. But your hunger can only be satisfied with your favorite foods. You'll enjoy the delicious flavors of natural food at every meal. You'll be bursting with energy. You'll be slim, fit, and healthy. And you'll find that junk quickly loses its appeal. Summary. Fruit looks good, smells good, tastes good, is the easiest food to digest, and gives us boundless energy. It's clearly our favorite food. Processing food kills nutrients, adds toxins, and removes water. Overeating is the result of eating the wrong foods which do not satisfy your hunger. Satisfy your hunger with natural foods. Top tip number 14. Cooking. When you're cooking, keep it quick and simple. Cooking destroys nutrients, and overcooking can turn your favorite foods into junk. You'll be more relaxed as you find your favorite foods can be simply and quickly prepared, and you don't have to spend hours in the kitchen. Chapter 15. Sugar Addiction. In this chapter, Obsessed with Sugar. How the Addiction Works. The Illusion of Pleasure. Chocoholism. Sugar Substitutes. Salt. Sweet and Sour. We view drug addiction with horror. The irony is most of us are consuming large quantities of an addictive drug without even being aware of it. Sugar. When I refer to sugar here, I mean processed or refined sugar artificially extracted from food, not the natural sugar in such foods as fruit. Natural fruit sugar causes the body no problems at all. On the contrary, it's a fantastic source of energy. Man-designed processed sugar is an attempt to mimic the sweet taste of our favourite foods. It's not the calories in the sugar that are the real problem. It's the way the substance reacts once inside the body and clogs up the digestive system. Even small amounts of sugar undermine the efficiency of our metabolism and cause weight gain. It's one of the most dangerous forms of junk for your health and well-being, and it's addictive. The myth of the instant hit. There can be a tendency to eat a chocolate bar, biscuits, or other confectionery as a quick fix between meals to keep going. This can cause what's often referred to as a sugar rush or instant hit. This may sound like a positive thing, but it isn't. While the release of the natural energy in fruit is controlled by the digestive system, the sudden introduction of processed sugar has a disastrous effect on your blood sugar level, artificially increasing it, which makes you feel nervous and on edge, and then causing it to crash. As your blood sugar level subsequently drops, you feel low and lethargic. And as processed sugar contains no nutrients, the feelings of tiredness and demotivation are increased. You probably won't realize how lethargic you've become until you follow my method and rediscover your natural energy levels. How we become addicted. As processed sugar leaves your bloodstream, it causes an empty, restless, out-of-sorts feeling. This is withdrawal. If you consume more sugar at this point, it temporarily relieves this feeling, creating the illusion that the sugar has made you happy. In fact, all it has done is taken you from feeling low to feeling okay. But you were okay before you took the first dose of sugar. You weren't missing anything. Once withdrawal starts, you feel the need for it again and again, just to get you back to the level you were on before the first dose. In fact, you never quite get back to where you were before you started, as your body builds up a tolerance. So every time you take it, you need more to get the same relief. And every time it leaves your system, you sink lower. The longer you go on trying to relieve the withdrawal by consuming more sugar, the lower your well-being sinks, and the more you feel you need it. There are genuine highs and lows and stresses and strains in life. But for the purposes of this exercise, and for the sake of clarity, we're going to ignore those and focus exclusively on the effect that sugar addiction has on your level of well-being over time. We're going to assume that before you get hooked, you're on 100%. Being on a high means having no problems. As an addict, you're permanently below 100%, i.e. below the level of well-being you would have had if you were not an addict. Because you're constantly withdrawing, but you're not aware of it because it's so slight and you regard the state as normal. This is why eating cakes, chocolates and sweets makes you feel below par. Assume you're 10 points below because of the withdrawal, and you recover 5 of those points when you consume more processed sugar. You receive a little boost, but you're still below the level you would be at if you weren't an addict in the first place. Perhaps you're thinking, so what? Won't that 5-point gain make me feel better, even if it's an illusion? Would you put on tight shoes just for the relief of removing them? This is what all drug addicts effectively do, but only because they don't understand the trap they're in. As time passes, and you go through life as a sugar addict, you slide further and further down as your well-being declines both physically and mentally. At first, it doesn't bother us, but as you go deeper and deeper into the pit, the situation continues to deteriorate. You become fat, lethargic, and depressed. Your well-being level is therefore gradually but continuously declining. And the level you come back to when you consume processed sugar goes down in proportion. If we woke up one morning twice the size we were when we went to bed and 10 times more lethargic, we'd be shocked. But because this is a gradual process, we're scarcely even aware of it. The physical withdrawal from processed sugar causes no pain, is very slight, and passes quickly. The deprivation you feel when you want, say, a chocolate bar but can't have one, is entirely mental, and caused by the illusion that you're being forced to do without a genuine pleasure or crutch. Once the brainwashing has been removed, and you can see processed sugar for what it really is, you will no longer suffer this feeling of deprivation. The great news is that when you start eating your favourite foods, you can return to the level of well-being you would have had all your life if you had never become addicted in the first place. The physical withdrawal from processed sugar is easy to deal with and disappears very quickly. The body starts to recover immediately, and provided you no longer see processed sugar as any sort of pleasure or crutch, you won't feel you're making any sacrifice, and you will be free. Every overeater wishes they could stop. The beautiful truth is they can, provided they understand the trap they're in and follow my instructions. You now understand that overeating is caused by consuming the wrong foods. When you eat the right foods, your sensor, gauge, and digestive system all work as they should, and the nutrients satisfy your hunger. Processed sugar is not one of our favorite foods. It causes overeating, not only because it won't satisfy your hunger, but also because it's an addictive substance, and you'll eat more and more in an attempt to fill the void you feel as it leaves your body. However, the drug does not fill the void, it creates it. As with all addictive drugs, it's not the physical withdrawal from the processed sugar which keeps you hooked, but the brainwashing that goes with it. From an early age, we're led to believe that there's something special about sweet foods. If you finish your main course, you can have a dessert. Of course, we're going to regard the dessert as a special treat. The illusion continues as we grow up, and is reinforced by everybody around us, who have themselves been brainwashed into believing that a cake or a box of chocolates brings happiness, when it really brings a feeling of emptiness, a craving for more, and a weight problem. We're taught that the highlight of a celebration is the cake. Once you understand that it's the company and the event that are enjoyable, not the sugary foods, you'll find that you can go to parties and other functions and still have a great time without touching the cakes, biscuits and puddings, and without feeling in the slightest deprived. On the contrary, you'll be able to rejoice in the fact that you don't have to shovel that mass of indigestible, fat-triggering junk into your body. Chocoholics. Have you ever opened a box of chocolates on your own with the intention of eating only one, and found that before you know it, you've scoffed the lot? Why do we do it? There's no pleasure in it. Physically, you feel bloated and sick, while emotionally, you feel disgusted with yourself, miserable, and out of control. The first chocolate leaves you feeling unsatisfied, so you think, just one more. Again, it fails to satisfy, so you keep going until before you know it, you've eaten the entire box, including the ones you don't like. Most chocolate is made from three basic ingredients. Cocoa, which contains an addictive drug similar to caffeine called theobromine, processed sugar, and cow's milk, which is intended for calves. Although it's true that some chocolate is more processed and contains more junk than others, there's no such thing as pure chocolate. It's all processed, and it all contains theobromine. The chocolate box scenario is typical of addictive behaviour. Addicts often feed their addiction in private, as they don't want to admit to it. They see it as shameful and often lie to cover it up. The natural sugar in unprocessed foods, such as fruit, is easily digested, and like all other nutrients, travels through the body and feeds it. In its natural form, it's the primary fuel for your mind. When you eat fruit, the natural sugar, fructose, enters your body combined with fiber and water. These act together to create the glucose necessary for your brain to function. This process results in a gradual release of energy. Processed sugar is a poison. Insulin is the hormone which regulates glucose in your body. Processed sugar triggers an excess of insulin in the stomach, which overrides your digestive system, making it incapable of breaking down the other foods, which then turn into fat. Man-made. The process of refining or processing sugar is very similar to the way the coca plant is processed into cocaine and poppy seeds processed into heroin. The processing strips away the fiber, vitamins, and minerals from the natural source, leaving behind a crystalline substance that's very sweet and soluble. Processed sugar is extracted from all sorts of food, and you'll find it called many things. So beware of barley malt, beet sugar, brown rice syrup, cane juice, corn syrup, dextrose, sucrose, and maple sugar. It's all man-made, and it's all addictive junk. Perhaps you don't think you've got a sugar problem. I suggest you check the labels on every item of food you buy. You may be surprised by the number that contain processed sugar. Even pre-prepared savory dishes that you don't associate with sweetness, such as soups, bread, pizzas, and crisps. Fresh fruit and vegetables don't need an ingredients label. They're pure foods in their natural state, and the sugar in them does not cause the sudden and extreme fluctuations in blood sugar levels which result in withdrawal and addiction. Carbohydrates can be an excellent source of energy, and you can get them from all sorts of foods, fruits, vegetables, pulses, and whole grains. These natural carbohydrates are easily digested and turn into energy. However, when grains are processed to make foods such as white bread, white rice, white pasta, and white flour, they can have a similar effect on you to processed sugar. The processing of these carbohydrates removes the rusk, taking away the fiber and nutrients, all the good parts our bodies can use, and the remaining carbohydrate acts like processed sugar, and excess insulin is released in your body. Honey and other sweeteners. We are predisposed to like sweetness for a good reason. Fruit, sweet, delicious fruit, our favorite food. Don't substitute the natural goodness of fruit with processed sugar or alternative sweeteners. Honey is a concentrated food with a low water content. Although it's the favorite food for bees, it's not suitable for us. And like processed sugar, triggers excess insulin in our bodies. Sweeteners are sold as a calorie-free alternative. Leptin is a hormone that helps to regulate your appetite and helps your body to metabolize. Aspartame and other sweeteners are acids which reduce the leptin in your body by as much as 35%. This has a disastrous effect on your ability to gauge your hunger and on your body's ability to metabolize efficiently. Don't confuse powdered fructose, sometimes marketed as fruit sugar, with the natural fructose in fruit. Once removed from the fruit, it acts exactly like processed sugar. It's junk now that it's been separated from the water, fiber, and other nutrients in natural food. In this form, it's simply another additive. Remember, liquids contain processed sugar or sweeteners too. Alcohol, fizzy drinks, cordials, and processed juices. There is one drink that contains no sugar at all and is the best thirst quencher on earth. It's the drink we reach for ahead of any other when we're completely parched. Water. Cool, refreshing, oxygen-packed water. Salt. Natural salt is an essential nutrient, and like sugar, there's enough in your favorite foods, fruits, and vegetables. The natural salt in these foods is combined with other organic molecules, and this means that our system absorbs it slowly and efficiently without any problems. However, processed or refined salt causes almost as many problems as processed or refined sugar. In large quantities, it can even be lethal. In China, a traditional method of suicide was drinking water saturated with salt. 1 ounce of processed salt causes the body to retain 6 pounds of excess fluid. When I refer to salt here, I'm referring to processed salt. Frequently eating foods with added salt has a dangerous effect on several aspects of your health. It increases blood pressure, a major risk factor in heart disease and premature death, and can cause kidney failure, diabetes, osteoporosis, and cancer. This is because processed or refined salt is unbuffered and moves too quickly through the stomach lining, causing a surplus in the bloodstream and taking the fluid from our cells to deal with the excess. When a surplus of salt enters the bloodstream, the body is forced to store the salt between the cells until the kidneys can filter it. This causes a caustic burning effect on the surrounding tissue. For protection, the cells release water into the intercellular fluid to dilute the excess salt. As the cells give up their water, they lose elasticity and shrink. This, in turn, causes an imbalance of the cell's chemistry through a loss of potassium. This disruption of the body's fluid balance scars your muscles and organs. If you're trying to lose weight or trim down, salt is counterproductive, as it hinders the correct functioning of the body and causes water retention and swelling. Virtually all processed food contains salt. Big Food has discovered that adding salt to food not only increases its shelf life, but also makes you carry on eating it, because, like processed sugar, it's addictive. We all know that once we start on the salty crisps or nibbles, there's no hope of stopping until we've scoffed the lot. Avoid having that first one, and there's no problem. We've been brainwashed to think that salt brings out the taste in food, but actually, it makes it all taste the same, of salt. Food is much more exciting when you can taste its real flavor. If you do use salt, use natural sea salt rather than table salt, as it's not as processed. Summary. Processed sugar is addictive, and it's added to almost all junk. Addictive drugs do not satisfy the craving, they cause it. Processed sugar provides no benefits and creates fat. Avoid sugar substitutes. Avoid drinks containing processed sugar or sugar substitutes. They're all junk. Avoid adding salt to food and enjoy the natural flavors. Top tip number 15. Sweet foods you find in nature. Empty the house of sweet junk and replace it with a bowl of beautiful, fresh fruit. Keep the bowl topped up with your favorite fresh, juicy fruits. You and your family will be getting all the goodness you need and none of the guilt. Chapter 16. Reversing the Brainwashing. In this chapter, a two-pronged attack. You're not being deprived. Stopping smoking and putting on weight. The 11th instruction. Dispelling delusions. Let's reverse the brainwashing and start seeing foods as they really are. Since we can be fooled into seeing junk as desirable, it's easy to reverse the process and see it as it really is. It's also easy to see the beauty of natural foods. A two-pronged attack. Reversing the brainwashing is surprisingly simple, provided you approach the process with an open mind and do two things. First, take the time to concentrate on the foods intended for you by nature and start seeing them for what they are. Delicious, energy-packed sources of all the nutrients you need to be slim, fit, and healthy. Cut open a ripe, colorful, juicy peach, orange, pineapple, or pear. Breathe in the amazing aroma. Relish the delicious flavor in your mouth. Feel the cool, fresh juice and appreciate the energy and nutrients that your body is going to benefit from with barely any effort. Try new fruits. There are countless varieties available. Maybe you've never eaten a mango or a kiwi fruit. Also consider the vast array of fresh, delicious, nutrient-packed, high-water-content vegetables on offer. You can take your pick of carrots, peppers, cabbage, lettuce, radishes, cauliflower, broccoli, tomatoes, avocados, mushrooms, asparagus, and spinach, to name just a few. Like fruit, you can enjoy these raw and in no time create delicious, nourishing dishes. With my method, your choice of foods will expand, not reduce. Second, take the time to see junk for what it really is. Digesting meat takes an average of 3 days. We are not designed to eat meat. Consider how ill-equipped we are to consume other animals, and how well-equipped to consume our favourite foods. Meat eaters. Sharp front teeth for tearing, no flat molar teeth for grinding. Herbivores. No sharp front teeth, flat rear molars for grinding. Humans. No sharp front teeth, flat rear molars for grinding. Meat eaters. Intestinal tract is only 3 times their body length, so rapidly decaying meat can pass through quickly. Herbivores. Intestinal tract 10 to 12 times their body length. Humans. Intestinal tract 10 to 12 times their body length. Meat eaters. Strong hydrochloric acid in stomach to digest meat. Herbivores. Stomach acid that is 20 times weaker than that of a meat eater. Humans. Stomach acid that is 20 times weaker than that of a meat eater. Meat eaters. Salivary glands in mouth not developed to pre-digest grains and fruits. Herbivores. Well-developed salivary glands necessary to pre-digest grains and fruits. Humans. Well-developed salivary glands necessary to pre-digest grains and fruits. Meat eaters. Acid saliva with no enzyme ptyalin to pre-digest grains. Herbivores. Alkaline saliva with ptyalin to pre-digest grains. Humans. Alkaline saliva with ptyalin to pre-digest grains. Meat eaters. Claws to kill and eat prey. Herbivores, no claws. Humans, no claws. Meat eaters, no skin pores, perspire through tongue. Herbivores, perspire through skin pores. Humans, perspire through skin pores.